This is me, professional. Shall we start that again? Hi, everybody. Welcome to Zvino. I'm Jaggerus.
Welcome, everyone.
Jaggerus, two Spyros. I'm not here.
Wait, why the two of me?
There's two Spyros.
What the fuck is going on? When Jag messaged me about 20 minutes ago, and it was about 20 minutes ago, to say, I'm so sorry, something has come up and everything's gone to shit. Can you do the podcast? And I'm like, yeah, of course I can do the podcast. I'm not gonna at all ruin the reputation of Team Leviathan Gaming in the process.
There we go.
Okay, shall we start from the beginning again? Because I can edit all of that out. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the episode 4 of Zvino.
Yep, welcome, everyone. Today, we're going to be joined with Seely and Specy as our two guests. And, of course, Max filling in for Jaggers, who had some real-life matters shit to take care of and was unable to join. But, nevertheless, the show must go on, and here we are.
We are here. So, what a week it's been in Gwent. It's like this week in Gwent, top 64, you were streaming for over 10 hours, Spiro.
Yeah, quite tiring. I mean, it's quite tiring for the players as well. I mean, that's the one thing about these qualifiers. It's quite often that they're a mental endurance, so to speak, because they can go on for a long, long time. So, you know, it's difficult to actually pay attention that much. So, big respect to the players who were playing this weekend who were able to stay focused for that long, because that is definitely quite difficult to do.
Can I ask you, when you get to like hour 9 and you see the same deck for the 50th time, do you just think, oh, Christ almighty, learn something new?
Or, I mean, personally, when it comes to qualifiers, like your whole mindset kind of changes. Your full attention is just must win. So you don't really mind what your opponent's playing, so to speak. Mm. As long as the matchups for you are good, that's all you care about. Whatever decks, you don't care. As long as the matchups are good, that's all you want. That's all your mindset usually becomes in these qualifiers.
Because Seely, you've been casting with Quillen Lance from the Quillen Cup for ages. Oh, yeah. And you must see some, because obviously when people are casting sort of like, you've got the qualifiers and this sort of like high-end stuff, and you get to like the finals of the Invitational and things like that. But when we get to the Quillen Cup, people are bringing these spicy meme decks. It must be a little bit more fun to cast something like that.
Oh, for sure. Those are definitely my favorite types of games to cast, when the players are bringing something spicy that surprisingly does work against like something meta. Because like sometimes I know that players for Quillen Cup can between each other agree that, okay, they'll bring something a little bit more spicy, or agree that, all right, I'll bring like a more meta kind of lineup. So sometimes they go, one goes meta, one goes spicy. It's pretty fun. Not gonna lie, not biased at all in my casting, but it's sometimes a little bit fun seeing these like kind of spicy piles kind of wreck the meta decks. It's very satisfying.
All right, that must be great. I mean, Specy, everyone knows who you are. You're really well known. For those of you who don't know Specimen Gwent, he is famous for making some off meta decks that are absolutely crazy. And what would you say, because I remember when I first started watching you, which was about 2 to 3 years ago now, you were the Sabrina fanboy. I think we should say
Sabrina Revenants.
What happened to Sabrina?
Well, like in Homecoming, before Homecoming in beta, she was a silver card that could basically just win you the round. I used to use her with Ard and like Vernon Roach, and I used to use Iris. And basically, when I was first started streaming, I was like, oh, this is how I can become known. I can become like, I could do like YouTube montages like I used to do for Call of Duty when I was 13 years old. Never happened. But then when Homecoming came out, she was still like, she is now like a silver spy, a six provision spy. And Revenants then came out, and I just sort of turned into like a bit of a Revenant Sabrina fanboy even still. So she was my first emote ever as well, Sabrina. And actually, yeah, I've got a new Sabrina emote that she's been reworked for like 2021. Martis is like redone her. So yeah, that's coming soon.
Look at that. Look at that. That's a leak right there, boys. Who cares about what leaks are coming at the weekend? We've got Sabrina Mark II. So you need to go get subscribed to Specy's channel, I guess.
A rework and Gwent to go along with it. Like a buff.
Yeah, a little buff would not go miss. Sabrina's Inferno, especially. That's like, if I had a card I could ask to be reworked, it would be Sabrina's Inferno. Maybe just Pierce Armor or something like that. That'll be cool.
I actually can't even remember what that card does. I know it does a crazy effect that makes the whole board explode. I can't remember what
it damages everything by one, but then non-cursed units, so like Revenants. But Draug used to transform the whole board. So you could Draug the whole board, and then you could play Sabrina's Inferno, and it would damage all your opponent's cards by two. Hubert Wreck as well, with like Pincer Maneuver, and you'd get like a 60-point Hubert.
Oh, I remember decks.
It was
Sabrina, and as me, someone who plays Gwent for about 15 minutes every year, it meant a lot. Did you have any meme cards or anything like that back in the day, Spiro, when before we got into Homecoming, you know, when Gwent was fun?
Yeah, my extent of meme cards back before Homecoming was Greatswords. That wasn't a meme card.
Do you know what? I would queue into Greatswords, no word of a lie, and I would be like, and I'm going to have to bleep this, and be like, fuck this shit. And I would just fucking forfeit and get out of there. And I was like, I just can't counter this thing. I've got a Vets deck and it can only do one thing. Mm. And I was like, I'm done. Did you ever have any decks? What about you?
Back in beta?
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I don't remember much of the beta days. I was kind of like not aware of the community existing. I wasn't really playing meta decks. I was kind of like looking at cards, like what looks pretty, I'll play it. You know, so honestly, I remember very few things from beta, but I do remember Dwarves being fun, but I don't know if that's like me, but still.
Yeah.
I remember Spyro, in fact, in beta Gwent, bug abused me with a seer one time. I was doing a PS4 tournament. Oh, I was running it. God. I was like, I'm gonna win my own tournament. Play against Spyro. And then there was the glitch at the time where if you looked in the graveyard when your opponent used a sire, it would like freeze the game. So of course it was my fault, really. But I was in the graveyard at the wrong time.
I actually remember the game. I was just looking at the grave because I was looking at my grave. I just wanted to know what was in my graveyard. And then I remember you played the Aseer and then kind of like caused the whole game to freeze. But that was
he replayed it because I think I couldn't remember what was happening, but. Yeah, I think it was technically I DC'd, like I lagged out because my game, right?
But I don't really like it.
And I lost. I do remember losing as well.
I can't remember the outcome again. I do remember that's issue with Aseer back on console Gwent, but those are good times. Those are good times indeed.
The days before, no deck trackers, so you'd have to try and remember what was in your deck.
Was that Gwent? Oh, I remember when I started streaming Gwent and I didn't even know what Gwent up was. And everyone's like, oh, this guy must know what he's doing. I was like, joke's on you.
So us, when we played on consoles, like you just wouldn't be able to get Gwent up, like because Sony didn't support it or anything like that. So it was just pure, like you had your hand and then you knew what your deck was, but you had to exactly remember what you're trying to draw into and what bricks you've got and all that sort of stuff. So I think it probably helped me like get a little bit better in the early days because you've got to try and remember it. It's a bit more of a luxury now. There's the in-game deck.
Mm-hmm. What graveyard? I've got a question, nice Specy, about the PS4 days, because we got to talk about the PS4 days. What happens if you're roping and you know your anxiety is going through the roof and you've got to like go card, but you've only got a joypad to do it with? What was that like?
I mean, I honestly miss playing with a controller. There's like, I haven't used it in a long time, but every time I have my controller connected, if I was playing Rocket League or something, I go on Gwent and it's got a controller. I'm always like, it feels so right. Cause I just used to just chill. Like I used to sit on my windowsill trying to get some sunlight while playing Gwent with a controller, which you just can't do now. And I always misclick as well now with a mouse. So honestly, I should probably go back to a controller at some point.
You should would you do a controller only stream?
Yeah, that could actually be a fun idea. That sounds good.
The problem was that when in open beta Gwent, it wasn't that bad being on a controller, but the problem was Homecoming, because once they started adding cards with order abilities, like manually clicking on the cards with a controller can be quite annoying. If you have like multiple order abilities, like if you think of Tunnel Drill, for example, it could be quite awkward to, you know, click on all these different order abilities. And in open beta, order ability didn't exist. You know, you play a card and that card does its thing and that's the end of that card. But in Homecoming, one of the big changes was, you know, cards can sit on the board and kind of interact further after that.
The good old days, eh? But speaking of, I mean, we talked about the good old days. Should we talk about the recent history? Top 64 happened at the weekend. Specimen, what happened, mate?
Yeah, so it was my third time being in qualifiers. I managed to only win one game so far in one. So I was going in like, let's try and give it a go. I also wanted to still, you know, bring like a deck of mine. So I brought like my Northern Realms Shield Ball deck and tried to target Syndicate roughly. But then the first two games, I lost to Syndicate. So started off badly, made a comeback, 4-2. I needed to get through to day two, but then I drew the very last game and then replayed it and lost. So didn't quite make it, but it was fun. It was a good experience. Like, that was the main thing. I think when I wanted to get better, I wanted to have like the day where I'd always be watching the streams, but actually being able to play in these kinds of things is really fun. Like, to just have that sort of competitive side. A lot of the time I can meme around. So it's just been nice to see a different way of playing Gwent, really. And honestly, like, just being competitive is just something that I just enjoy a lot.
Yeah. Spiro, same question too. What happened, mate?
Yeah, I mean, what happened was, remember I spoke about the focus thing? I mean, the last series, I remember, was against Fireball. I was in a game-winning position, but I kind of just got... I was after a long day. My back was tired. Oh, my back was killing me. I was so tired. I was like, oh, it looks like the end is in sight. Looks like a win. Should be game over. And just got a bit ahead of myself and then stopped. I just slipped my focus for a second through the series, and then obviously didn't make it to day two because of that, which was quite unfortunate. But yeah, that's the thing. These long qualifiers, it's important to like keep your focus through the whole way through.
Yeah.
Because you know, it's very easy. It's very, very easy in Gwent to slip up. There's so many little things that you can just forget for a second. You can completely lose an entire series in just one tiny misplay. So that's what these qualifiers end up, you know, testing a lot of time is mental endurance. And it can be rough sometimes in these long, long days.
Yeah. What about you, Seely? Have you ever have you played in any of the qualifiers?
Yeah, I have back in the day played one qualifier, and I have to say, like, I definitely agree with everything that was said about endurance being like the key. And I remember I had a run where I had like two wins and two losses, and then I played one game and I saw Miamon's decks and I was like, no, I'm not, I don't have the energy. So I was just climbing the cards at that point, and obviously that didn't go too well. So I remember that. I actually don't remember exactly the scores I was in. And I don't think it was like very far. It was like, I think the either fifth or fourth game of the day, and I was already like exhausted. So I definitely, you know, good job for everyone who sits there for a whole day. And then if you then move on to day two, then you gotta prep for day two, and you gotta sit through that. And then it might be like single eliminations, like we saw here this qualifier. So you have people, unfortunately, then in day two immediately drop after just one game, which obviously is like not what you want to be doing once you get there. So definitely everyone who does that just has the energy and the stamina to play for that long. I seriously like look up to that a lot.
I mean,
but I love the way you put that.
Yeah.
Match up against Miamon and just know that
that was too much at that point.
I think I'd rather queue into Columon than Miamon, honestly. And it's all like, his decks are just crazy. Every time you play him on ladder as well, like, he just does his own thing, and he's
maybe that's
the
strategy.
Yeah.
Just Miamon use confusion, right? And then the opponent's like, all right, I guess. does have a very creative deck building.
Would you say there's an element of psychological warfare when building a deck and taking it to a tournament as opposed to just playing on ladder?
Yeah, so like, I think definitely if you on ladder, even if you play, like, for example, I play a lot of decks that are, you know, like the Shield Ball deck, for example. I've got really good scores with it, and people didn't know what they were playing against. So I have that advantage because I've played against Syndicate 17 times, but they've only played against my deck once. So on ladder, there's definitely a huge advantage. In a tournament, it's not as much, but like, I still have played the matchups way more frequently. So I know sort of like the lines, what to take with this surprise deck. Whereas if I'm just playing like a meta deck, my opponent will know the matchup just as well, if not better than me. So I do think there's like an advantage of bringing like your own things. And we've seen people like Tailbot, obviously, having great success doing that. So it just proves that you can do it as well.
Yeah, I think another thing is also bringing decks you're comfortable with. A lot of players, and I've done this before as well, playing decks that they make sense, that they are decent decks, but the decks that I have not been too comfortable with. And you play a deck you're not comfortable with, there's so many matchups, there are certain lines or certain like beats in the matchup where you got to try, you be aware of and stuff. And if you don't actually know how each matchup goes, it can really make a big difference. And I think also bring decks that are also quite unique or different can throw a lot of people off. Like when you're playing these qualifiers, a lot of times players have these games down to a science. They know, okay, against this matchup, I need this to happen, I need this to happen, I need this to happen. And when you bring a deck that's, you know, quite unique and quite different, sometimes the player, some people go, whoa, what the hell do I do against this? And they might make mistakes they just because they're not aware of the matchup. So definitely can be a benefit to you. If the deck makes sense and the matchups for it make sense as well.
But do you find that obviously the plays are quite limiting then? It's almost like there's a very linear way to play the deck. If you've created something yourself, well, that's gonna play into that, but you haven't got any sort of branching plays that you could actually put into it. I think that is one of the tricky things about deck building. I guess that's what makes the good deck builders out there, like people like Green Knight and Pyreball, the people that make these amazing decks, they're thinking of every eventuality with every play that's possible. And whereas if you think about back to the qualifiers for the Invitational 2 that we did a couple of months ago, it was actually quite funny because I was watching it and you were casting with Jaguar Spiro, and there was a deck there, and I wish I had it to hand, because you were like, hang on, has he got one of every bronze? And it was just completely left of center.
I think I remember this. So it wasn't a Redea deck. It was a Skellige warrior deck. But he just decided all the different warriors. He just wants a Swiss army knife for himself.
I had a great one as well. I was doing some commentary. I think it was for the Wild Hunt one that unfortunately got cancelled with technical difficulties. But the first round went through, and I was casting Green Knight versus a player I can't remember, someone from the community. And the person Green Knight was playing against had double Squirrel in their deck. And I just remember finding it just completely hilarious that they've gone for the double Squirrel. It was just brilliant.
Double Squirrel, nice. Man. Oh, you can banish the Neuromancy and the Amphibious Assault. It's brilliant.
There you go. See? New meta right there. Oh, dear. So, Seely, what have you got? What are your plans for the future? Because you're obviously streaming pretty much. You were streaming quite often, but you've been quite busy recently. You've just been doing life stuff.
Yeah. I think a bit of life stuff has definitely been in the way. Unfortunately, I have to be on a little bit of a break from Gwent in May, but then, you know, we'll be back full force in the summer again, streaming. I have a bit of a study streak I have to get to in real life, but once that's over, I'll be back, and hopefully we'll do a lot more streams as well. Like, I'm looking to do a full amount of them week, almost every day if I can. So I'm really looking forward to that, actually. But I think it's nice getting a little bit of a break, because then... You get some energy after that, I feel like.
To be honest, I think it's really healthy. It's good for your mental health. It's good for your physical health to get a break from anything. Yeah. I mean, we've got Spiro here who hasn't had a break from Gwent since the day it hit beta. So how let's be honest. I mean, there's a lot of people want to say, how the fuck do you do it? Really?
Let's just say I'm used to it, because back before Gwent, I used to, and I'm sure my chat's probably like tired of the story, but I used to play Call of Duty a lot more than I even play Gwent. I used to play it competitively.
Really?
I used to play it in a team. Our team was pretty good. Every tournament we made it to the finals, at the very least. And I would literally get home from school and I would play Call of Duty till the moment I went to bed, unless of course I had homework or assignments. And of course I'd have to do that on weekends. I'd just wake up, play Call of Duty till the moment I go to bed, more Call of Duty. It's Call of Duty coming out of my ears. And I used to grind that game 8 hours a day nonstop. So I'm kind of used to the environment of just grinding something like crazy. So it doesn't feel that alien to me, I guess you could say. But yeah, it does take a lot of
what was the last Call of Duty game that you played competitively?
I think the last time I played competitive was a bit of Black Ops 3, although I kind of stopped halfway through Black Ops 3. But the one I was really competitive in was Advanced Warfare.
Was that the one in space?
That's one with little jetpacks sort of jumping around.
Yeah, I played Call of Duty competitive as well. The Titanfall ripoff. But really? I was more a wannabe competitive Call of Duty player rather than I never went to tournaments or anything like that. But I backed myself pretty heavily and still would.
Yeah, so you were like one of those people that thought they were better than they really were, and when you lost, you just told someone to shag their mum or something.
it wouldn't have been my exact words. Yeah.
So, so can we expect a one-on-one Spessy versus Spiro in Call of Duty?
Yeah, I mean, we actually played some Call of Duty together. We played some zombies with Kiwi, who's in the chat as well.
That was quite fun.
Okay, I actually own that. I have got Modern Warfare. I will join you for zombies. It's hilarious. I can aim. People are I can't aim.
Just like regarding Spyro, like streaming every day as well. I remember I had a day to myself, which was Christmas Day. Like no streams because I had COVID. I was stuck in my room. I was like, right, it's my chance. I've got the whole category to myself.
That was good. But like, you slept in, didn't you?
You got to commend him, right? He just does it like every day. It's very, very respectable.
Yeah, let's be fair. I mean, you don't become the person that's at the top of the Gwent table without putting in the work. And no, I've never known anyone graft the way you do, Spiro. So you know, respect to the man, because you do fucking work hard, and I think that's great. But speaking of working hard or hardly working, Specimen, how was your?
Every single day, pretty much.
Yeah, it's almost like you don't have a life either.
Yeah, I don't at the moment.
That's a lot of similarities, yeah. Call of Duty background, streaming all the time, you know.
Yeah, you go from like Gwent, playgwent.com and alt tab into OnlyFans, because that is your life right now. No, I'm joking.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, I was teaching full time all of last year. So it was like my first year teaching when the pandemic started, and then I got my PC. I was like, right, since I can't play Gwent on PS4 anymore, I wanted to play Gwent again. I was like, I could give streaming a crack. Before, it was just like very simple streams with like the PS4 camera. So yeah, like I was still teaching all the time last year, but remotely. So I like started a new job when the pandemic started. So I was like going on Zoom calls, like meeting the teachers, and they were like, oh, you've got a gaming headset there, haven't you? I was like, yes, I do. That is what that is. And then
do you play Fortnite?
Yeah. And then I was teaching like full-time in class from September to December, and now basically the job I was having was like a maternity cover, so that's finished, and looking to move hopefully soon, because I've been back home for like coming up to 2 years since I finished uni. So the plan is to move to the city probably in the next few months. That'll be the game plan, and then do a bit of cover work, sort of like scope out what the schools are saying. But I've been really lucky to just take it easy for a bit with the streaming thing.
Yeah,
and obviously it's something I love doing. I can just
but again, I mean, all three of you are proper grafters, because you've got very different and very committed communities. And there's someone who sort of sits there and watches them all. And I think I got to know you all mainly through the Invitational when I joined TLG over a year ago, and then I got to see these very different communities, and that's how I got to meet Seely. And I think, as I say, it's a testament to putting the work in, because not anyone can come and can jump onto Twitch, open up Gwent, and all of a sudden have 100 people. Actually, probably if you're playing Gwent, you could.
So this is the perfect time for this story. I was Seely's first Twitch follower.
That's
amazing.
The reason is, I had like this great idea that never happened. I've still got most of the clips. I would go into loads of Twitch streamers' chats and ask them if it was Triss or Yen. And then, so I was always in the category for like a week. I never edited the video, but the clip probably still exists.
We need to edit them into a compilation of going
it's
in every
like
day going,
Triss or Yen. Like that still,
so. That's a nice way to start a war, I'm spacey.
I mean, we have to ask everyone now, right? I'm Team Yen for sure.
I'm Team Yen. I'm sorry. I think he shouldn't have been cheating on Yen with that skank. That's all I'm saying.
No, I have to say, I'm Team Yen as well, definitely. Just I like that character.
Yeah, exactly.
No, are you Team Killer Mets?
Yes. Oh. Oh god, how about that? I'm gonna be neutral and say I'm Team Bruce. There we go.
Well, I heard she gives you an itch anyway. Oh dear, we've got people in the Twitch chat saying Team Roach, so I think that's a pretty safe way to go to kind of end that argument right there. But yeah, Team Yen all the way. There's a reason why she's the main figure on the Invitational to promo artwork that's going out.
Leaks.
Shall we talk about this weekend? We can talk about this weekend.
Leaks?
We are going to more leaks. We're going to be doing an alternative cast It's basically a second cast to the so we've got the official open that's happening at the weekend, which is awesome. And so a bunch of us have decided that we are going to have a bit of a watch party and do some casting of our own. And if you want to come over and watch us have a few drinks with us and hang out, there'll be Speci, Spiro, Jagras, and Quill and Lance, and they will all be naked, I've heard.
I've heard of this.
Oh, really? You need to read your contract, mate. And yeah,
details.
Just and that's happening this weekend, and we will be releasing the trailer for the Invitational 2 finally, which I've been sat on for ages.
We can cast in a hot tub, do a hot tub casting stream.
Yeah, oh, that would be good. The thing is, if I sat in a hot tub and was casting, someone would call the RSPCA, which is the Royal Society of Protection for Cruelty to Animals, for those of you who are outside the UK. But anyway, moving on, we'll move away from that. So yeah, that's happening this weekend. So everyone should just tune in and hang out with us, because it'll be a good crack.
It's starting at
so
like 4 p.m. CST.
Is it
Saturday?
Do you know what? I really don't know.
It usually starts at time. Just assuming.
Is it four? How long does it? Because it's 2 days. And
there are 2 days. It's the first day is four. The first day is 4 games. Second day is 3 games. I believe that's how it usually goes.
Right. Nice.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this weekend. Like, it's a super stacked open. It's been a long time, really, since we had the last one. Like, we had Masters in December, right?
Masters.
Masters was December though, so it's going to be nice. I think like community event to just like chill, and I'm looking forward to seeing the decks, especially, to be fair. Like, you've got people like Tailbot who can just bring some really interesting things, and then you've got like Forever YOLO, who's sort of like the underdog amongst all the better known players. Really looking forward to seeing how it pans out, and just hoping that our teammates can sort of dodge each other in the first round at least.
We should be knowing the brackets soon, right?
Yeah, when do the brackets get released?
Usually like a day or two before, I think.
No, we're not nervous. No, we're not nervous. No, we're not nervous. We're not nervous about the brackets, not at all. It'll be just fine. It'll be fine, honestly, love. It'll be fine. Piebald saying the brackets are coming out on Friday.
Okay, so a couple of days to wait. Yeah, nice. Interesting. I mean, competitive Gwent, I think that's where Gwent is at its best, is in the competitive nature. It's been as you mentioned, December was the last like big event. The last open was even before that. So it's been a while. We've had obviously like a little break period between like the transition between season 2 and season 3, and now we're gonna be back at it in full force, it seems, as the Gwent Open number 1 will be kicking off this season. Still no word on the we do have word. It's in December, the next Masters, right? The Masters season 1.
So explain to me how we're in Masters season 1, but this is season... I'm completely confused.
Max, the event is just a cursed event. It's just a complete cursed event. Every time it's supposed to happen, something gets in the way. There were so many things. There was a transition between. So obviously, back in open beta, actually before, there was even since closed beta, there were open tournaments, and the winner of each of those, challenges, was given a spot to Masters. And obviously, open beta lasted quite long. It was like a year or over a year. And then Homecoming came out. There was still a couple of opens that still had to be played for it. And then eventually season 1 was at the point of getting concluded. We got the event date, and everyone was flying down. People already flew down. And this was like 2 years or something after the first like event to get the players qualified. And then COVID happened, flights cancelled or event cancelled, and then they've rescheduled, and they were trying to wait until they could find a day that it could happen in land, but it looks like the virus still obviously in a position where unable to do it on land by the looks of things, unless it significantly clears up by the end of this year. But yeah, so the cursed event essentially.
So the people who had qualified for Masters number 1.
Oh boy, that's a funny question.
So
it's very complicated.
So are they still going to be competing in Masters number 1? Their crown points for that season should still be valid, I would assume. That makes sense, right?
I mean, there's some funny things happening. Yeah, we have one player that's the first one, life coach, who qualified, and doesn't interest him anymore, so he's given up his spot. Then we had a position where Hanachan was next on line.
Yeah.
And then he couldn't go because at the time China was the worst in terms of the virus, so his flights were cancelled first. Then Casper was the next on the line because ProNeo was banned at the time, so ProNeo wasn't allowed to play. And then Casper was next on the line, and the whole virus and the whole tournament got delayed. So yeah. Now we go work our way back up the system, and I think ProNeo is back in it because his ban has now been so long that his ban has now been lifted, so he's technically allowed to play in it again. So it's really bizarre. It's really, really bizarre.
I'm looking forward to seeing Freddy play. I'm not going to lie. I'm very, very excited to see Freddy in that tournament, see what kind of decks he brings.
Consume.
I've gotten to know Freddy a little bit recently, and he's just such a funny guy. So I really would love to see him do well.
So should you... Okay, so this is the thing, right? So these people... So basically, the way that the Masters work, for those of you who are complete noobs like myself, so you play throughout the year, and you play, and then you get crown points based on your placement in each season, yeah? And those crown... Mm-hmm. And depending on the number of crown points that you have, then you end up being invited to the Masters, right? So in Masters number one, those crown points, you could have... Basically, do you think they should just fuck the whole thing off and say... it's not going to happen, and then just allow them to carry over the crown points to season two?
I don't think they can, because the thing is, the prize pool for the season one is a pretty significant amount. Like I can't remember the exact amount, but it's a huge amount compared to what we have now. So right. If you're one of the players, have basically been promised like a share of this massive prize pool. And if it gets like re-changed into a new system or whatever, and you might lose your spot, or you might now have to share it with other people, that definitely can be a big financial impact to some players. So I don't think it's quite going to be feasible to change the format. You just have to have the tournament at some point, and yeah. I don't know what point it's going to be, but yeah.
I mean, people even traveled to the event as well, right?
Like, Did they get reimbursed though?
I'm not exactly sure what happened, to be fair. I just I know that people have obviously gone there, and they hope to still do it in person because that's what it was supposed to be. So I think that's pretty admirable that they still want to do it as like a in-person event, and that'll be great if it can happen.
Yeah.
And if not, it will still be cool to do it online anyway.
Cool. If you know anyone who goes, can you get them to send me some kebab-flavored crisps, which I believe are a thing in Poland, and I'm so desperate to try them. I bet they're fit.
I believe, you're one of the players that was also going to travel to Masters, One, right? And then it also got cancelled. Did you make it to Poland yet, or did you stop, or did it come into place before you left?
It fortunately did kind of play out a little bit before that, so I hadn't traveled yet. I think it was one day before I had my flights, and then decided that it was like the situation was looking like, yeah, there's not going to be any traveling, so I had not left. I was about to, but I didn't make it there. Of course, I would have gone there to just be part of that event and kind of I was at Challenger 5, I believe, in Warsaw in Poland, and that was great fun. Everything was awesome. So obviously I think a lot of the people that were there and people that didn't make it to that one were really looking forward to this one as well. But of course, you know, it's better this way considering the circumstances than nothing still happened in terms of gatherings in Warsaw. So
yeah. I'm so excited to go to my first Gwent event. I've got to be honest, when it happens, it's gonna be so sick. Just meet everybody and have a good time. I've already said the thing I'm most looking forward to is going to a club with Paj.
Oh my god, you'll be like those guys. What's that movie, Swingers? Oh, that'd be hilarious. I've heard that drinking with Talbot is definitely something that every man needs to experience, man and woman needs to experience at one point in their life, because apparently he will drink anyone under the table. Which is something I personally wouldn't mind experiencing, because yeah, that would be fun. So yeah, because hopefully things should be opening up at some point in the future, in the near future as well. With any luck, anyway. So we could be seeing Masters 1 happen at the end of this year, and it would be nice to see a return, or the return of Life Coach to Gwent.
Yeah, I mean, he was interesting. He was definitely interesting. I miss those Life Coach and Super JJ like co-op streams. This would be such a fun environment. You try like the two of them getting to like top one on that. That was quite enjoyable. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The Masters one has been so delayed that half the players that are participating are kind of either not exactly interested anymore or just, you know, moved on. And it's been a very weird one for sure. Hopefully it does end up, taking place.
Shin Miri is in Twitch chat. Hi, Shin. An hour before I was going to leave for the airport, CDBR told me to stay at home. Could you at least it was an hour before and not you didn't get a voicemail when you got off the plane at the other end.
I mean, some people literally did leave, and like, I think it was McBeard or someone
Green Note was there, I believe, wasn't he? I'm pretty sure Green Note was there. And he told me like Tailbot like had to lend him some money because Green Note didn't have the right currency or something like that, and it all just went super messy. So crazy, really.
A lot of people did actually end up getting there and then finding out only after that they were there and got cancelled.
Sounds like the topic for a Netflix documentary. Trapped in Poland, Gwent Masters cancelled. Oh dear. Well, I'm sure it will happen again later this year, because Gwent Esports is awesome, let's be fair. It's one of the best parts of the game as far as I'm concerned. I don't really play the game, as you know. I spend most of my time making everyone who does play the game look good, but watching it is always exciting. It's fantastic. And speaking of Gwent, I'm gonna mention the dates of the Invitational 2, which is the 10th and the 11th of July. I hope you're free, Seely. Put it in your calendar because we need you casting with Lance. And then the 31st, and do you know how I know that? Because I was literally about to book a flight to Spain that weekend to go.
All right.
And I literally was like, hold on 1 minute. And I sort of was like, I had to go onto the TLG website and check the dates. And I was like, oh, fuck. So it's the 10th and the 11th of July, otherwise known as my weekend away that is not happening. And then the 31st and the 1st of August. And that's going to be the top 16 week. Especially, are you going to make top 16?
Do you know what? Yeah, I reckon I could. I reckon I could go for it. I'd have to commit. And the thing is, what normally happens with me is I'll be playing Gwent, it'll be all going well. And then I'll go on like a 6-game losing streak because I just should have logged off like half an hour ago. So probably not anytime soon. I think like for me, what's cool now is like I'm really comfortable. I can get top 64 like without really committing too much. Whereas like I only got it like for the first time a few months ago. So that's been a nice change. I think I could get top 16, but I'd have to properly go for it. And I think I'm quite unpleasant as well when I take things too seriously. Like when I play FIFA, oh mate, I'm the worst kind of person. Yeah. And I think it would be that kind of mentality where I would just get angry at everything. And I think I just enjoy streaming a lot more as well when I can just don't have to be so focused. Like, I need to win, because then I get a bit angry and it's not ideal. I want to be a bit more chilled, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of being a bit more chilled, I do have a question for you. A couple of weeks ago, you were casting with Jagaras, and then you just dashed off in the middle of a game. With the round finish, or the game finish, you went, I'll be right back.
Yeah, I couldn't have said anything. I should have gone.
I was like, oh, I could see some kind of pain in your face. Can I ask, was you touching cloth? What happened?
I've already had to go already. Unfortunately, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. But if I drink any kind of like, if I drink coffee, water, anything, so normally I just don't drink much, right? But obviously, when you're casting as well, like you do need to drink because you're
you've got to hydrate.
Yeah, not ideal.
What was going through your mind though at that moment?
I'm not gonna lie. The thought has crossed my mind at one point. I was like, I wonder if I could get like some adult, you know. Like, just so I could, and I was like, nah, that is unacceptable. The fact that I'm even telling you this is pretty unacceptable. At least I didn't follow
through. Are you talking about wearing an adult nappy while you're casting?
Maybe.
Well, I'm sure I'm going to be invited to stand in from someone else again. This went downhill very, very, very quickly. Speaking of endurance tests and not pissing on the job, thank God. Spur, are you ready for another 14 or 20 hour casting session with the Invitational 2?
I'm ready. I've had a day to recover. I'm ready for it. Let's It's happening. Yeah.
And you, Silly, you and Lance were also, you went the full length as well, didn't you? Both of you. The full length. I mean casting the Invitational last year. You were.
Oh, the Invitational. Invitational was a pretty long event for sure. Yeah. But you know, it's a lot of fun. So I feel like time flies when you're having fun, and casting definitely does that.
Were you having fun? Because at the end, I think we got to, it was about 3 a.m., 4 a.m. I actually did the artwork for both people winning. It was Busher. Who else was playing? It was Busher and who was the other person in the final last year?
I have no idea. I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. That's way past my memory.
Someone in chat will know.
Someone in chat will know. Unforgiven. There we go, yeah. And I did have to, in the end, I was so knackered, I ended up going, you know what, here's the artwork for both people winning, I'm going to bed. And that was at like 3 a.m. So God knows what time it was by the time you finished. It must have been, because you're, I think you're all over.
Yeah, I remember I was up until like 4 a.m. my time streaming that event. That was a long one because, a lot of players. I mean, how many people did we start on with? It
was we had 100 to begin with, but I think 2 didn't turn up, so I think we actually had 98. But we did break a record.
This year it's like 120, right?
We're 128 players this year, so which is why we're putting it over 4 days, because it's going to be crazy. It's going to be mad, but I think we're bringing in some extra casters, and we're going to have... it's going to be great. I think basically every Twitch channel is going to be the Invitational for those 4 days. So it's going to be fun. I really can't wait. And I'm absolutely dreading doing the artwork for the deck lists, because I have to do 128 of them with how many decks are they bringing for the Swiss? I think it's
four the next day.
And for the next day, what?
Well, for the knockout or elimination stages.
Oh, okay. Oh, for the top 16.
Yeah.
Christ. So yeah, if you're watching and you're going to be playing in the Invitational, do me a quick favor and get your decks in really early and give me as much time as possible. And to everyone, and that goes to everyone who plays in Quillen Cup as well, actually.
I'm thinking as well, like, how we're not too far off the time when we're going to enter that time in Gwent where they're like dropping a card, a few cards every few months. I think it's June we're getting the next card drop. How are you guys feeling like about having that? I'm excited to have like that. As I mentioned, like Call of Duty and FIFA. When I played FIFA, it was Ultimate Team, which is kind of cards, and I would sit on like Foothead, which is a website, I'd build the teams and stuff. But you've always got new cards. Whereas with Gwent, it's never been like that. But I'm really excited for that kind of every month. Like I already enjoyed when we had Madoc and Alza already. Like just one card gave me a lot. Whole month of YouTube videos from Madoc alone. So I'm really looking forward to that. Like, how are you guys feeling about that?
I mean, it's new cards and new content is always, I think, a very welcome thing in the Gwent community. It's a little bit tricky when it comes to tournaments. It's actually it's a double-edged sword, and it's very exciting to see a tournament when it's just new content just came up, because then everyone's kind of still trying to figure out the meta, still building their decks, and you know, people have very different decks and all these decks perform very differently. And, you know, no one really knows what's good and what's not good, so you see all these different decks, you know, going up against each other. It's really exciting, especially as a caster's point of view, but it's also very fun as a player, as a content creator, having all these new combos to theory craft and imagine what kind of decks you could build. And you know, you see these combos that look broken, and then you play against another deck and you're like, wow, that's even more broken. And then you play that deck and you play against someone else and you're like, whoa, that's even more broken. And everything just looks wacky and cool. It's probably the best time in Gwent, actually.
No, I would have to definitely agree with especially what Spessy said about just look at cards at Alzer and Madoc and how much they did change things and how much people were trying them out and really going out there in deck building. And I think anything new is always exciting. And if we can get these kind of small drops every now and then, I think it will do great things for the game.
When's the next big expansion though? Proper like themed one?
They've changed it. So they're doing like, they're going to split up. Like rather than like one big card drop of like what we had with Master Mirror and Way of the Witcher.
Yeah.
They're gonna do like still sort of an expansion, but it's gonna be split into like I think 12 card drops every 2 months. So yeah, it should be pretty cool.
So you get 12 cards I'd say that would keep the meta fresh.
Yeah. I also think like for me personally it's perfect, because that's always been like, until recently when I've maybe played some more meta decks, for Gwent for me was always about spending time in the deck builder, building like didn't even need to be competitive. I just wanted to build like a cool deck. So when you've got all these cards coming in, like certainly as a content creator, I think it's going to help me out a lot to just keep like it more interesting for people. And also I think it gives me a bit of an advantage maybe in like a competitive season. I'd feel like more confident getting top 16 when there's new cards that have just dropped compared to now where everyone's sort of the meta's more settled.
Yeah. And it must make things easier for you guys because you're playing Gwent how many god knows how many hours a day as well. It keeps it interesting.
Too many.
Is there anything you I'm going to mention the Alchemist card. I want to mention the Alchemist card because we were putting the notes together for this, and they were like, so what sort of talking points should we put into? And so Alchemist, so you're gonna have to correct me. So my understanding is the Alchemist card has been sat there for ages and nobody realized that it could be completely and utterly abused, and then suddenly someone went ding and everyone's now abusing the card and everyone hates it. Is this what's going on?
I think more so that the card itself, it's a weird one. It's not that, I mean, people realize, I think, right away when they saw the card that it can be used to some very annoying extents, but at the end of the day it is still a bit of a slow tempo. It's a bit situational sometimes, and it is kind of something you don't always want to be playing the card. So the reason why I see a lot of played now is because you're playing it off of a location card, and the location gives you the flexibility of if you see a good time to use it, you can use it. If not, you can use other options. So you're less committed to playing it, which is why it's seeing so much play right now. Then again, the reason why the card is obviously quite annoyingly viewed at is because of the fact that it has a very big impact in the game sometimes for a very cheap cost that it probably shouldn't be able to have that big of an impact for a card of that provision.
Yeah, I used to use Alchemist a lot when it came out. So I used to use it with Warrant the All-Seeing, which puts a card on your opponent's, on like the highest provision card on top of their deck. I actually brought this deck to one of the qualifiers, and you play Mentors, and they're like 13 points. And then use an Alchemist, and you give your opponent like a Samum or a Dancing Star, and you get their best gold card, like their Masquerade Ball or something like that. So obviously that's like an incredible carryover play because you basically just swapped like 22 provisions worth in the deck for that kind of a play. The big problem with the card and why it's now become like, I mean, already it's got the high roll factor, so you can set it up, but also you can just by chance get your opponent's best card, and it's become even more of an issue because as Spyro says, the location is a card that has some really cool synergy with Cantarella, but what that also means is sometimes you don't need synergy, you just need to high roll and you steal your opponent's best card. Cantarella's also in the deck and you can coup her. Sometimes you're just in a situation in the Nilfgaard mirror where you're like, my hand is not looking too hot here. I'm kind of going to lose this round. But what I can do is I can play Cantarella, Kuit, and Alchemist. And then there's three cards from the top of my opponent's deck that I can potentially steal or get rid of for the next round. And that's where it feels really bad when you just see someone YOLO a Cantarella and it wins them the game in a lot of situations.
What was the last card that you remember that just got abused? But we're going to use the word abuse. Yeah, it got abused, but it broke the deck, basically. Is there anything that comes to mind?
Maybe Ethereal comes to mind. Ethereal and Fruits just turned into everyone was playing Ethereal in Fruits, just all in on this one card. Some people would play Renew for it, Caranthia, all sorts. Yeah. Vi is the other one, someone said, yeah.
Yeah, Vi. For sure. Also, pre nerf Harald the Cripple, armor piercing, 6 strength, 11 provision Harald the Cripple. That one was also quite a crazy one back in the day.
Did Vi get nerfed? What happened to Vi then?
Oh, it got big nerfed.
it's still really competitive though, right? It's actually my least favorite deck in the game for sure. Yeah. Like it's basically they lowered the leader, so you only have 2 leader charges now, but the card still gets ridiculously big. And also, like, as soon as lockdown got cut, this worst matchup is just not there anymore. And I think most importantly is everyone was running a Spores, a Heat Wave, all sorts of tool punishes, locks. Now those things aren't around, Vi can just do really well still. And I would just love to see that card reworked. I think it's never really going to be a card that interests me. It just seems like a very high-rolly deck, very boring to play, very boring to watch, very boring to play against. And the Mirror is the worst thing I've ever played. It is so unenjoyable.
I have to agree with you on that one. For sure. I mean, you know what the funny thing about V is? The fact that it got nerfed by such a massive amount. I don't think I've ever seen a deck that got this hard nerfed and still sees play to this day. Like, it lost several points, like 7 or 8 points in the course of the game, and it got a leader charge reduction, and it got provision nerfed. It got nerfed so, so hard, and it still sees play to this day. That is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Second Wind. Are we going to mention Second Wind from last? Is it last year? With Second Wind, someone mentioned it in chat. Second Wind was the was that the deck that everyone banned at the Invitational and everyone hated?
Yes. You are correct.
One of those leader abilities that could play two cards at once, right? Which they got rid of. So like Death Shadow, Pincer Maneuver, they rewrote. Have to say, really glad they did that. Like, I think that's one thing I never really found enjoyable about Homecoming was the fact that you could do those kinds of abuse things. Like when I used to play Hubert Wreck with Sabrina's Inferno, like that was just a busted combo, and it's kind of goes away from what Gwent should feel like. So the fact they've got rid of those, I think, was probably the best thing they've done in a long time, honestly. Like, and I think as well with the whole like card drops as well. Like, I do think I've definitely enjoyed the direction of the game in the last year.
Well, yeah, because I mean, obviously, the great thing is they're always rebalancing it. I mean, I funny enough, in the TLG Discord this morning, because I was looking through some old artwork, because I'm obviously preparing for other projects that we've got coming up, and I found all the deck lists from last year's top 16, and I dropped Pyreballs in and stuff like that, and they're like, oh my gosh, you remember these? And it's weird how the game just completely and utterly evolves so often, and with these 12 or so cards that they're going to drop every couple of months as opposed to waiting for a big expansion. I think that's definitely a good move. Celia, is there any decks that you remember that you completely, well, that you've been, that you've abused? Tell me what you've abused.
Abused. What I can think of is back in the day when it was like the old brand leader ability, and there was like this kind of discard shenanigans with like Unicorn and Karnax. That is one that I remember really well, because that is one I actually played. Usually I stay away from these types of decks because I don't find them very interesting, especially with something like V is like a little less interesting to me than other decks potentially. So but this one I did actually play because I found it pretty fun, and I remember that being very strong, definitely. Got some nerfs after that, and I don't think after that Karnax or Unicorn have been played at all.
CP in Twitch just says he abused when Foltest was broken.
No. 41 card Foltest. That was, I think I'm talking about the wrong Foltest, but that was one of my favorite decks when I first started. Just, I used to probably play like 28 cards in my deck anyway, and then I slowly found out, I'm not supposed to do this. And then I found out I could play 41 in fact, right, with the Vernon Roach. Chase, I love that.
You're not the one to put one of every bronze there in his deck.
No.
Did anyone ever get a successful Canby back in the day? Was Canby the one that wiped the board?
Yes. I mean, that card was, there were some decks around that they were usually meme tier, but I mean, it was a very satisfying feeling when you just nuke the entire board and win. But it was pretty hard to set up. You require long rounds, it would require a lot of setup, and it was quite a difficult thing to pull off, but every now and then you could pull it off and just completely drop an A-bomb on the board.
That was a moment that you probably, when it happened, is like once every 50 games, and you go, oh my god, I need to clip that. You're gonna be on play of the week. Oh dear,
I always wanted to make it to play of the week. It never happened.
We put together TLG TV a couple of months ago now. We're nearly 2 months old. We're still babies in the land of broadcasting. But one of the things that we did talk about is doing a play of the month, because I think a play of the week would get an app. I couldn't be asked doing the edit, to be honest, but I would do it once a month. But I think that's something we're looking at. You can submit clips into the TLG Discord. And then you guys, the people who are pros and people who are in the team, and will be able to sift through them and vote on their favorites. It'd be like voting for the meta report, except for people will like each other at the end.
No, I'd be well up for that. That sounds like a great idea.
Okay, well, we've rubber stamped that now. This is why I shouldn't do these podcasts, because I end up committing ourselves to loads of things that we don't have time to do. Oh, right. Yeah. Speaking of not having time to do anything, I think we are coming to the end of our hour. Cecilia, Seely. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's been such a pleasure having you here. It really has.
Thank you so much for having me, Max. I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been amazing, and I'm looking forward to seeing you back on Quill and Cup, hopefully in the near future. I believe the April is it this Friday, and then I think the April finals are on the 1st of May as well. So I hope you're around. I hope before you take your break, you're able to definitely cast the finals, because it's my 40th birthday that weekend, and I couldn't think of anything better than to hang out with you and Lance, and watch Quill and Cup. Where can people find you on the social media verse?
On social media, you can find me on Twitch. I stream with the same nickname, but with two C's, because Seely with one C was taken on Twitch. Oh, so it's Seely with double one C there.
Seely with one C was taken. That bitch.
I know. I don't know who it is, but I will be in talks with them at some point. And then you can find my Twitter at Seely Twitch. I don't post that much there, but hey, sometimes I say something on there.
Well, I will wait with bated breath for you to tweet something. Miss Specimen, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Yeah, I'm Specimen Gwent on YouTube. I do like YouTube videos most days. Twitch as well, and I've got Twitter as well. Pretty much it.
Yeah, and you never tweet anything apart from "I'm going live." It's the laziest Twitter I've ever seen in my life.
Well, do you know what? I've honestly my Twitter is a spooky place. Like if you were to search my Twitter history from 2 years ago and type the word Gwent, there's some hot takes on there. So I made a promise to stop the hot takes on Twitter and just keep it to myself.
Right.
Because it doesn't, there was a dark time where I would be a very angry Twitter boy about moaning about Gwent, so I stopped that.
Yeah, people in chat right now are asking if you're going to be streaming Carnal Instinct anytime soon.
I don't know what that is, so
you've never heard of it. All I say is, Seely, do not Google it. It will scar you for life. Honestly, it's absolutely.
On this one, so.
I mean, you guys scarred me for life yesterday. I just come into Discord and see some.
I said this morning. Do you know what? Normally, I get up in the morning and I the first thing you do is you reach for your phone and it's not for your emails, and then I opened up Discord and I'm like, oh no, I might as well get up now because nothing was going to happen.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
Oh dear. Spiro, it's been very nice being, I'd say you're being your co-host, but I've completely ostracized the conversation, which I normally do.
Not at all. It's been great having you. It's been very, very nice having the other Jag, but preoccupied with real life things. So
yeah,
but yeah, it's been great having you.
It's been fun. This weekend. And and I'm sure Jagras will be back for the next one. You can find me on Twitter, by the way. I'm wellmax81. I tweet everything that to do with TLG. I'm a proper TLG fanboy, and and I also complain about Brexit. So there we go. that's basically my Twitter in a nutshell. But yeah, if you guys have any questions or anything you want to DM me, you can find me on the Discord, because I don't have a life and I work from home. So yeah, guys, it's been a pleasure. Thank you to all of you, and thank you to everyone who's been watching, people. And if you're listening out there, do not forget to follow us on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify, and hit the subscribe. It's really important that you actually listen as well, because that helps people find us. and then this video will go on YouTube in a couple of days. And check out the YouTube, which is youtube.com/teamleviathangaming. And obviously make sure you're following here at twitch.tv/teamleviathangaming. Thank you for everybody. It's been fantastic. I've been Max. That's not my real name, by the way. And I shall see you all again. Thank you.
And
this is when you will wave to the camera, don't you?
Smile a wave.
Smile a wave. Bye. Bye.